It seemed the strangest of days, the sort of day when anything might happen. In the heat of summer, Alice dozed on the riverbank. "Where should I go now?" Alice asked the Cheshire Cat, who was sitting in a nearby tree. It was quite difficult to have a conversation with him, as he kept disappearing and reappearing as they talked.
"The March Hare and the Mad Hatter live nearby," said the Cheshire Cat. "You could always visit them."
With that final piece of advice, he slowly vanished one more time, leaving only his smile behind. When Laurie walked in the room to let in the best present of all, announcing in a breathless voice, "Another present for the March family," two men came in the room. One was Mr. Brooke, and the other, who leaned on him and was muffled up to the eyes, was
Dad!
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 After a group hug that seemed endless, Mr. March sat down in the armchair with Sweet Beth on his lap. The Reverend watched his family intensely, enjoying their presence. Then he said, "My little women, I see you have changed." When Mulan reached the army camp, she reported to Captain Shang. Shang was the son of General Li, leader of the Emperor's army. It was Shang's job to train the new recruits to be good soldiers.
"What's your name?"
Shang asked. Mulan made up a boy's name.
"Ping,"
she stuttered. "My name is Ping."
The recruits had trouble with all of the training exercises. The most difficult test was retrieving an arrow from the top of a tall pole. No recruit had been able to do it. Finally, Mulan cleverly figured out how to use strength and discipline to get the arrow. Everyone cheered. They would all learn to be good soldiers. But one evening, Mushu and Cricky overheard Chi Fu, the Emperor's aide, talking to Shang.
"I will report to your father that your men are not fit to be soldiers," he said.
"We can't let him do that," said Mushu. "How will I make Mulan a hero if she never goes to battle?"
So Cricky typed out a note, and they delivered it to Chi Fu.
"Yes," said Nkwong. "Didn't you want to be popular? Dingo chased you all day. Before I made you popular, how many people chased you?"
"Well, none, I suppose," said Kangaroo.
"I thought he was chasing me so he could eat me."
Snorted Dingo.
"You also wanted to look different from the other animals," said Nkwong.
"And didn't you ask me to do it by 5 o'clock?
"Well, yes, but not this way," replied Kangaroo. "I thought you would do it with magic or fairy dust. This was a painful joke."
"A joke?" growled Nkwong.
"Perhaps you would like me to ask Dingo to run after you again? With a little more chasing, he might run your hind legs off."
"No, no, I'm sorry," stammered Kangaroo. "I'd like to keep these legs, if you please."
Heartbroken, Elsa sobbed as she hugged her frozen sister.
Then something amazing started to happen. Anna's body began to thaw.
"An act of true love will thaw a frozen heart," said Olaf, remembering what Grandpappy had told them. It was Anna's selfless act of true love for her sister that had thawed her heart.
Overjoyed to have her sister back, Elsa realized that love was the key to controlling her icy powers. At last, she was able to bring summer back to Arendelle. She even created a special snow cloud for Olaf so he could enjoy the sun without melting.